Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Psalm 28. You know, I read primarily the version of the Bible that I use is the Legacy Standard Bible, the LSB. Some of you may not have heard of it. It's a very good conservative Bible that tries to give a very good word-for-word as much as possible translation. It's made by John MacArthur's ministry. And one of the reasons for the LSB Bible is the NASB 95, which John MacArthur used over his years of preaching. They came up with a new version called the NASB 2020, and they began to make changes that are less conservative or that aren't as honoring as the scriptures. And that's what a lot of the Bible versions are doing in their updated versions is they're going gender neutral. They're adding words where they're not there. There's thousands of changes being made. But anyways, the point of the reason that I'm sharing that this morning is I many times teach to you guys out of the NASB 95. I have a John MacArthur study Bible, NASB 95. And listen to how it starts in this particular psalm. It says, "To you, O Lord, I call. My rock, do not be deaf to me, for if you are silent to me, I will become like those who go down to the pit." And when I read that, I was like, oh, wow. You know, sometimes I'm marveled at how David speaks to God. He speaks to God very directly. And, you know, possibly, you know, in his culture at his time, maybe in Hebrew, it wouldn't have sounded exactly like that. But like, I just feel like, wow, I don't know if I would talk to God that way. To you, O Lord, I call, my rock, do not be deaf to me. The LSB, as an example, says, to you, O Yahweh, uses Yahweh for you know, the Old Testament name of God. To you, O Yahweh, I call, my rock, do not be silent to me, lest if you are hesitant toward me, I will become like those who go down to the pit. And for some reason, that's easier on my ears to hear, do not be silent, lest if you are hesitant toward me. Now, I've been thinking a lot about this morning, though. This all kind of goes into the teaching. That's why I'm bringing it up. Is, have you ever been desperate before? Have you ever, like, just needed God in, like, a desperate way? Like, God, help me, you know? You know, David was desperate for God. He had many times in his life where his life was about to be taken. He was about to be killed. And he, you know, it's as though when you're in a situation like that, all of a sudden, all the niceties, in a sense, you just call out to God directly and you cry to him. And that's the example that David gives. And I think there's some good in that. I think sometimes it's good to get to your last straw where you just need God and he's your only way. May he be your rock and may he guide you and I. And, you know, I was thinking about that in my own life. And I probably the most desperate time that I can remember now is just a couple times actually, but one just planting this church back in 2009 and, you know, got off to a slow decade start. I mean, you know, it was really hard and I was tempted to give up without God's help, but he just would not let me. I've also had some financial challenges in life. You know, my family was, and myself, really, I was the first one in my family in the real estate business before I became a pastor. And, you know, unfortunately, my family was involved in real estate investment during the real estate collapse of 2008 to 2010. So there were some desperate times in that time as well. And, you know, sometimes when you get desperate, it really helps you to lean on God and realize that he is your rock. And there's some great health in that. It's some great health to getting to where, you know what, the only way you're going to get through it is if God helps you. Hallelujah. And you know what? He's been there for me and I trust he's been there for you. You know, in our darkest days, we just got to remember to not give up. and just keep on going, keep on serving, keep on loving God and following Him. And many, many times there's better days ahead. And, you know, sometimes we can't see through those dark clouds, but there's sun on the other side. God is there. Trust Him. And David learned that. Hallelujah. I'm going to read this psalm today from the LSB. Hear the voice of my supplications. He's crying out, God, oh, hear me when I pray, when I cry to you for help. Man, there's something really special about actually even getting up to the point of crying for needing God's help. How near He is to those who cry to Him. When I lift up my hand towards your holy sanctuary, it's kind of interesting. You know, in the Old Testament, that was a very common thing. You know, we've been talking about the tabernacle quite a bit, and they camped and they faced the doors of their tents to face the tabernacle. And back in, you know, all Old Testament days, they would face the temple, wherever it was, when they prayed. They'd be like, where's the temple in Jerusalem for where I am now? And they would, because that's where God's presence was known. So they would face that when they prayed. And what's incredible is we don't need to do that anymore. The temple's torn down, and the temple now is in the church, in people who believe, not a church building, but in people. So, you know, we don't have that practice anymore, but that's what he meant then. I lift up my hands towards your holy sanctuary, not even whether you were in Jerusalem or not, you would do that. Do not drag me away from the wicked and with workers of iniquity who speak peace with their neighbors while evil is in their hearts. And that's, man, that's a rough thing, right? To be in the midst of people who are speaking peace when evil is in their hearts, when there's not authenticity. Give to them according to their work. And yeah, you see this a lot in Psalms too, you know, and if you had a major enemy, like if you were at war, I think it would call you to cry out like this, like, God, you know, deliver me from my enemies, put them away who don't believe in you, and help me, God, who I believe in you as my Lord and Savior. And many times David's calling for his enemies to be, for God to take care of them. Give to them according to their deeds of their hands. Return their dealings upon them. Because they do not regard the work of Yahweh, nor the deeds of his hands, he will tear them down and not build them up. And, you know, he has a confidence that God's going to come through for him and not for his enemies. And, you know, it actually ended up being true in David's life. I mean, God protected him and very well and provided victory for David over his enemies. Blessed be Yahweh, because he has heard the voice of my supplications. And now he's sharing that, you know, even though he's crying out, God, don't be silent. He, right in the same psalm, he's having a confidence that indeed God is hearing him. And I think that's a healthy thing. You know, even when God maybe hasn't moved, hasn't acted yet, have confidence and faith that he will. Yahweh is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart exults, and with my song I shall thank him. And, you know, it's just the polarity and actually kind of beautiful extremes that David has in his relationship with God. I mean, sometimes he's crying out, God, don't be deaf, don't be silent. And other times he just exudes this, you know, glorious praise to God. And, you know, may we well up more for love for our Savior and be able to express that to him instead of just being, you know, I'm going to preach on Revelation chapter 3, the last chapter, and it's to the church in Laodicea this weekend. And it, you know, it talks about don't be lukewarm. You know, if you're lukewarm, I spew you out of my mouth. And God's desiring that we would love him and that we would worship him. And you know, sometimes we got to stop playing it so safe and just express ourselves to God, both in our needs and desires and also in our praise. Just exude praise. David danced before the Lord. Yahweh is their strength, and he is a strong defense of salvation to his anointed. And it's interesting to think about, you know, what that meant. I mean, David definitely felt like he was anointed and that there would be one who would be anointed to come from his family line. But I think he is referring to Israel, his family, God's nation. And now we, the church, have become God's family. We are his anointed. We are his children. Hallelujah. And he is a strong defense of salvation to us. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd also and carry them forever. And hallelujah. You know, we are sheep and we have a shepherd. And our shepherd is Jesus, and he's watching out for his sheep. We have a good shepherd. Jesus called himself the good shepherd, and as needed, he carries them. Hallelujah. Praise God that we are not alone, that we are not orphans. We have a father. We talked about that yesterday in our Bible study. Don't ever forget that God is your father. He is a good father. He is your heavenly father. And you know, many of us have had good earthly fathers, but some of us have not. And how much more do we need to see Jesus as our shepherd, God as our father, guiding us through the days of this life? Hallelujah. What a beautiful psalm. I hope it encouraged you today. May you express your devotion to God. God bless you all.